If you behave, you're going to get some soft drink. But you need to behave well. Yeah. No. Probably.
Yeah. Let's see, Roberto from Brazil.
Yes.
And you're going to say something about cybersecurity for tactical networks. Cybersecurity is always a good word, so.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, everybody. So today, I'm going to talk about tactics, and tactics, it's a projects, it's an ongoing project trying to deploy SOA on tactical networks. So this talk is about, so tactics stand for tactical SOA, tactical service oriented architecture. And so a tactical network is something, it's related to military, and it's a dynamic environment. And then we have SOA, which is a software platform for distributed services. So I'm going to talk a little bit about tactical networks, about a little bit about SOA, and about how we are applying SOA in tactical networks. So the project is funded by the Defense Agency. And then we have 8 partners, which we have some companies and also other two universities and 1 research institute. And we are 6 countries. So HIG is in charge of security. And the project is, it's more or less divided like this. We have SOA services, which are in charge of service management and other basic functionalities for deploying services. And then we have service deliverable, the delivery and routing, but everything deployed, everything being designed for tactical networks. And tactical networks are disruption tolerant networks because we have wireless links between the nodes. If you look to this, these links here are wireless. And HIG is in charge of security. So we are trying to protect this architecture. So we have the other partners collaborating, and we are trying to protect the whole solution or the whole architecture. And when I say HIG, I'm talking about Steven and Vasilis, who is here. So, and I'm just playing around, but these guys are doing the hard part of the project. So the problem in short is like this. We have the tactical networks, and then we have a set of protection goals, and we need to trust somebody. We need to have IDs for the nodes in the network, IDs for the services in the network, and one way of gluing all these things, protection goals and the devices in the network, is defined policies. And then we put a stamp of the NIST lab there, and then this is protected, right? This is all I know about the project, and now we are going to look to some of the details of this of tactical networks and SOA. And this is the map of the words that I found on the Wikipedia page saying something about tactical networks. So let's have a look on what is operations on the Army side. So the basic abstraction for operations in Army is like this. You have this loop. We start observing something, and then you decide to do something like, oh, let's attack there. And then we decide, like we call our friends, please help me attack there. And then like the air support comes and do the job. And this is like one of the CONOPS. It's like a description of operation of our French partners. But the thing is, we are talking about communication. The thing is where this loop is happening. And by where, I mean the specific place in the network where the decisions are being made. And basically we have these three places, the soldiers itself, then we have the supports of the squads, and also we have the guys taking the decisions in a nice table and etc. And about the device that these people are using, it's like the soldiers are using radios, mobile devices, and then we can have in the cars, in the vehicles, we can have laptops, and then in this side we can have servers and other big machines. And we call it, this side is the tactical side of the network, and this side is the strategic part of the solution. And we can look at it from, we have here the distance and the dependency on communication. So we have these little devices, the solutions are deployed, I mean, there is a relation between the distance and dependency on communication. This the relation is related to the exposure of the services. So if you are providing services at the device where the soldier is using it, so we have it locally, so you are not using the network. But then if the device is using a service which is deployed in a laptop, for instance, you need a communication. And if the device is using a service deployed in a server, then you have more dependency on the communication. So we can draw a relation like this, and then we can here, because the device has a lot of restrictions, you can deploy, let's say, less robust security mechanisms, and here you can use powerful security mechanisms. And then you have the protection goals, which deals with confidentiality, control, integrity, authenticity, and etc. Here's one example of the network setup that US was using at Iraq in 2008. So it was about 150 servers, and everything walking around these servers are the tactical networks that we are talking about here. So the servers are more or less in these sides, but we are talking about these sides where we have these links. And let's have a look on the mobile nodes. The mobile nodes, they can be connected with good connectivity. They can be using poor connectivity, and also they can be disconnected. And when you have poor connectivity and no connectivity at all, maybe you are under attack, or you are out of the network reach. It can be several reasons for this. And maybe these are the critical states of the mobile device where you need to do something. Because we are talking about communication, right? We are talking about services, and then these are the alert states of the device. And also we have these kind of nodes which are sitting in a car, and they can have more than one radio. So they can speak in different radios, and they are also, and they have some, they don't have restrictions on battery and also on power supply. And the radios in the project are like this. So here I have the radios, and here the throughputs. So the throughputs looks more or less like this. We have really low throughputs in the most of the radios. But when you look to the range of the radio, maybe you get an interesting setup, because, for instance, VHF has a good range, like 20 kilometers, but the throughput is quite low. So we are talking about really low throughput. Note that this is a exponential scale, so this is really bad throughput, but then with some good range. If you look to Wi-Fi has a really good throughput, but the coverage is bad. But then these are the radios that the companies in the project are pushing it, because they are companies, they have solutions for Army, and this is the state of the art of, if you want to buy a radio today, this is what you get. But in the literature, there are much more interesting solutions. They are talking about connectivity, cognitive radios, software-defined radios. So it's a different approach. But we need to deal as well with the scenarios, and the companies in the project are pushing it. And also, we have some bizarre setups, like if you look to this scenario here from Finland, they have two radios here, and it's like, if you want to talk with another part of the network, you need to use another radio. And also, sometimes you have coalitions, and for instance, if Norway wants to operate with Germany, it's like they exchange the radios. So take my radio here, and I take yours, and then we communicate. But the systems are not talking together. Of course, NATO is trying to push some SOA taxonomies to put systems to talk together. But yeah, this is. Finland, Germany, France, Italy, and Poland. Yeah, Sweden is not. Cool. Good to hear. Thank you. So now let's talk a little bit about SOA. And this is the map of the words from Wikipedia as well. And so if you are lucky enough to grab a service and look at the service eyes, the service is a quite polite person. They're going to say, I had a service, and I receive as input an integer, and I return as an output an integer, and I'm sitting at the building A. So that's what web services are about. So you get the service, and also description of the service, and also you can discover where the service is. And then here I have a definition, but the problem with definitions is like everybody's forget it as soon as you finish reading it. So maybe let's look at it in a different way. So let's look around and find a service. So, for instance, there is this movie that is going to appear soon in the cinema, exactly the 10th of December at midnight and 3 minutes. So, if you want to buy a ticket for this movie, you just go to the website, and then you can buy it using e-billets, and then you pay using your banking accounts. And all these are services. And also there is one amazing service, which is the tax office providing the address to your bank. I mean, I moved from Trondheim 5 months ago, and I changed my address at the tax office, and that's it. This is wonderful. I mean, this is, if you want to see something beautiful about distributed system, is this service of the tax office providing your address to your bank. This is this is advanced civilization. So it's service. This is service, but see services in a plural. So it's you can have orchestration of service. So this is a combination of services that you use to buy a ticket. And then you can name a lot of companies here, and all these companies are using the same services from the bank. This is the beauty on this. So let's look to a tactical example of service. So let's say that we have this drone taking pictures, and we want to share the pictures, right? This is the service, and then we have two nodes here, and the nodes are using this service to get the pictures and to do something about it. And we can have like we can have Norway providing this the drone, and then we can have these nodes from different countries using it. And then the application can be something like this. You get, for instance, you get this image from one service, and then you get other information in the application from other sensors being shared on the network. I don't know, but you can have the orchestration as well. So you have application where the application is getting data from different services in the tactical network. And what it means that these NATO friends, they need to talk with each other, and they need to like they have the devices and the infrastructure, and then they say, oh, Norway is sharing this, Germany is sharing it that, and then they need to put the systems to work together. And then they have what we talk the coalition, which is the combination. And when we are talking about services, I mean, somehow, if Norway is relying on a service being provided by Germany, we need to have some service agreement, because if I'm relying on that service, I need to be at least. I need to be sure that the service will be available when I need it. And what is availability? And you can have it described in terms of quality of service requirements and etc. So, but this kind of coalition can happen in different phases of a mission or operation. And for instance, the mission can have the preparation phase where the coalition is formed, and then you can also share some certificates, you can identify the nodes, and then you have the mission itself, and then you have the debrief. And about where these things are happening, the preparation of the mission happens at the strategic domain. So you have good infrastructure and also good communication infrastructure. And then you have the mission itself, which is happening at the tactical domain. And then we have all we are using this wireless network with these mobile nodes, and this is a more restricted environment. So, and using mobile devices. And then we have the debrief, which can happen at the strategic domain again. And so NATO is pushing this, is pushing a taxonomy to connect systems from different countries. And then they have like stacks like this. But let's have a look just on this part, which is more, this is like the layers related to the project. And what we have at the strategic domain, we have a kind of standard SOA. Standard, when I say standard, is the same kind of technologies that people are using at the web. We can have these sides. But in the tactical side, we need something distributed. We need a different solution. And at the strategic domain, we have continuous connectivity, and at the tactical domain, we have DTNs. And we cannot rely on connectivity, and so we have two different systems here, and we are playing at this side. So I was trying to make the scientific methods shorter or less dramatic. So then I start to look to this map of words and just trying to know what is the relation between SOA and tactical networks, because it was not clear to me. Because SOA, if you think about web services and then you are deploying web services in a wireless network, it's a kind of strange thing to do. And then I start shaking it a little bit faster, and then you start to see some things, like, isn't it? It's like it's merging in your brain right now. Probably you are feeling some. Probably you are feeling the SOA being combined with tactical networks. But yeah, maybe the result is a mess like this. But it's all about services and operations. So services, again, to make it simple, we can define like three types of service. One, it's let's say are the core services, are the fundamental services in the infrastructure. And then we have the local services when we don't have connection to the infrastructure. And we have the collision services, which can be provided by partners in a combined mission. So the NATO taxonomy define several layers of services where you can provide where the systems from different countries needs to connect with or needs to be talking with each other. But security is something vertical to it. So it's like security is intrusive in several layers in these kind of stacks. And what we did is like we map it. So we have this, we are trying to simplify this kind of big stacks. So we define that we have security capabilities for communications, for the core, and for interdomain. Interdomain, it's coalition. When we have two countries collaborating, we call it interdomain. So, for example, and then how we protect it. One of the basic scenario is the drone again providing a service, and then we have a node A, which is a mobile node in the hand of a soldier, and then we have the node B, which is a laptop sitting in a car. And then the question is, should we use the same security mechanisms for these two nodes? So let's have a look from a different perspective. Let's have a look at it from the power consumption perspective. It's known that crypto systems using different size of keys consume different have different power consumption. So maybe one policy. Let's start a little bit talk about policies. One policy should be choose the size of the key, right? This is what everybody talks about. And so node A use shorter a key with a shorter size than the node B. And here is this the power consumption to verify and to sign a message. But also let's talk about connectivity, because this node has poor connectivity and this other node has better connectivity. And then if we look to the transport mechanisms or the kind of security mechanism that we can deploy at the transport level, they also have different performance on terms of communication overhead. I mean, if we look to the delay that this security mechanism introduced to the communication, they are different as well. So maybe a policy should also choose the transport mechanisms that these nodes are using. So we are trying to sketch what policies in this kind of environment should be. And then we have, so the trade-off is something like this. If we have the communication overhead here and the power consumption here, we have like a service with low sensitivity can use, don't need strong protection, and also the power consumption and the communication delay is, it will be insignificant for the mechanism being used in this case. But sensitivity is dragging it up. If you have something more sensitive, and then you need more expensive security mechanism in terms of power consumption and communication overhead. So let's get back to web services and how it works. It's like we have a client, and then we have this service here, a client here, and the service. And then we have we write a message to the web service because we know what kind of input the service is expecting. And then we have the transport part, which is HTTP for web services, because web, HTTP, it's the same. And then we have the listener at the at the server side, and then we have we have to take the message out again, and then we this is the basic path of a client using a service. And then if we want to protect this connection, what we do some security binding, and we can do binding at the transport layer and at the message layer. And the message at the message layer can be a combination. We can have like a file with different policies or different pieces of the file using different security mechanisms. So then we have, and also we can have symmetric binding and also asymmetric binding. And how it works. So using web services, we can define parts of the message which are going to be signed and also encrypted and also signed, encrypted, and token. I'm missing a hash. But for instance, this is one example of a file, a segment of a message being exchanged. And here I have a timestamp, and I can have a hash of the timestamp. And then, but this document can be complex. So for instance, I have this ID here, and then I have a hash for this ID. And then I have the timestamp here, and also I have the hash for the timestamp. And then this in the same file, I can have the data encrypted here. So, and then you can define the what kind of crypto system you are going to use for each of these parts of the document. And it works, and it's a little bit wordy for the kind of throughput that we have at the tactical networks, but. And also, it is static. I mean, you don't have negotiation among what kind of mechanism you are using to protect like these parts of the file. But getting back to the project, what we are trying to do is we have the system, the tactical context, which is related to the roles, information sensitivity, QoS requirements, network status, and node status. And then we have our protection goals, which are, it can vary from general protection, like integrity, authenticity, and confidentiality. But also we have some specific goals, like for processing and which came from the dynamism of the tactical network. And we are starting to approach these things using policy. This is our first approach, and it looks more like this. So we take the protection goals, the system context, and then these are the conditions for the policies. We receive it as input for the policies, and then we do some actions on those layers that we defined as the security capabilities, or where we are trying to deploy the security capabilities, which are communication core, interdomain. So we need to deal with this dynamic environment. But Let's have a look why we need policy and why we need dynamic policies. If we look to the requirements from the project, like every work package in the project dealing with the SOA services, dealing with the service delivery and also routing, they have a set of requirements. And then I try to look to the criticality of our protection goals to these kind of requirements. And here I have three requirements, and here the criticality of the of each of our protection goals, each one of the protection goals, and it looks like this. So every the requirements, they have different demands for security, and that's why we need dynamic policies. This is one really simple way of looking to the problem, but it was the first way I tried to look at it. But the project, we have other partners working on different things, like and also the partners are using semantic solutions to solve some problems in the other work packages in the project. Like, we are trying to define policies and to protect the system, but the other partners, they are trying to deploy the functionalities. So, and the functionalities are all related to communications, and also they are using some semantic on there. So we have like a set of ontologies being defined on the project. I don't know exactly, but then we are working on the security side, and then we are like we are trying to structure it like this. We have the security core, and then we have whatever the security is doing in the system, like protecting the system, which is the case here. But everything is just somehow it's going to be a rule. I mean, a set of rules which have conditions and actions, right? So to do this kind of to deploy policies, you need a policy manager, which has this is nothing special. Probably you are used to these kind of things. So you have like enforcement points, where then we have a decision points where the decisions related to the policy are taken, and you have eventually a database. If you are using semantic or ontologies, you need a semantic database. And yeah, and all this to protect the services which are being used by a node. And then we have this basic framework, which a rule has a condition or conditions and actions. So if you want to create a new we have this little framework, and then we can extend this framework, like creating new conditions and new actions. And these conditions can be from all the other partners in the project, like defining other specificities, and also we can create new actions, which is how the system should behave in the case of something happens. And then we also can have in this framework, we can extend the core functionalities as properties. So we can have a property from a domain, and so the condition and action is represented by a property between two classes in the system. And then when you are going to you can extend this basic framework to provide the same kind of condition and action structure. So this morning I learned from Stuart that security is about scaring people. And yeah, so let's have a look on some conditions. So for instance, you can have a condition A like this one, and a condition B like this one, and then and what kind of action you can have in this case? I mean, you can like borrow your ego. Maybe a ego is a nice action on this kind of conditions. And then, Of course, I'm pushing. I don't know if the project has money to buy a eagle, but I think it would be nice to have a eagle around the system. But yeah, and also you. This is when you are like using entities. You are extending entities, and you can also use properties when you are defining the ontology. So one property is like Gandalf has ego, and then you have. So this is like you are saying, this is a typical. This is one example of property which is being. Which is extending an action, like, and here you can see Gandalf enjoying his ego. But let's have a look on a tactical example. Like, if we have this drone again, trying to share an providing a service, and then we have the node A trying to use this service, but node A, the poor node, is has just a local connection to node B. And node B has a connection with node C, and then one way of providing these services or making node A access this service at node C would be like node A share the contents that is being provided by node C. And then one easy solution for this is using asymmetric cryptography. So node C share the public keys and sign the pictures, and then node A can get it through node B and also make sure that it comes from the node C. But then you can have some tight QoS requirements saying like I want to get pictures every second. And then with this kind of tight QoS requirement, it's hard to use asymmetric cryptography because it's expensive in terms of time, right? So then you have a threshold like this, a threshold defined by the QoS requirements. So from if we look to the latency here, we have services with really low latency at the left side, like video and voice. And at the right side, we have like... documents which are not changing in months or weeks or days. And then at this side we can use asymmetric cryptography, but at this side we cannot, because we need really low latency. So how we provide this kind of solution, how we make this kind of simple solutions? People are using ontologies to define the policies, and it works more or less like this. So we have this security binding, and it can be, we are using messages, SOAP messages in this case, and it can be we can use public key infrastructure, asymmetric binding, and we use a token. But then we get the conditions. The conditions comes from QoS requirements, the information sensitivity, and also the network status. And then maybe this is changing. Maybe if we have tight QoS requirements, we use symmetric binding instead, and then we have other security token here. So, but the tricky part of this kind of solution is like, we have this core, and then we are saying that we can structure it somehow. And this is one example of action. So an action on the system can be an ontology like this. But the tricky part is how I can connect the QoS requirements and the information sensitivity and the network status to this, and using semantic as well. So this is something that we are working on right now. And of course, we know that we can define actions as ontology using rich semantics, but we are not sure yet how to connect all the other parts of the system. And about the network setup, we also need to be aware that the network can change over time. So we can have like all the nodes connect to a central central server here. In this case, we can have like a partitioned network like this. Then we need to have the policy enforcement, for instance, distributed, and then we can have a different setup, and then completely disconnected setup as well. And it looks more like this. It's if we have the connectivity status here and the number of nodes here, we have at the right side here, we have like in this case, we have few nodes interconnected, and in this region here we would have a lot of nodes disconnected. And here we have a node isolated. And if we move up, we just adding more nodes. The nodes are spreading from each other. And if we go to the right side, we have better connectivity. But yeah, just a few nodes. And if we go up like this, we have like the network in fragments. And then we have at the top, the whole network works together. So the tactical network should work in this, in all these kind of states. So it's expected that the node will be isolated eventually, because a lot of things can happen on this kind of. It depends on the mission. And then another question is how to verify this. I mean, I have this ontology, and how I can verify that it works. I mean, I just show it to an expert, and then I get a NIST lab stamp on it, and then I said, oh, this is a protected system. And also there are some metrics that we are looking for, like time complexity to deduce the policies and stuff like that, and also the relations, because the typical solution is use rules. So we have a big set of rules, and we are saying that with this semantic solution, we can reduce the number of rules, because you have rich semantics, and you can express a lot just defining the relationship between the entities instead of using a huge list of rules. So maybe next semester we are going to get back with some answers and also with some results. And the takeaway message is go to the cinema to see the offline 5 armies. They are all offline, but it's still a lot of fun. And that's all. Thank you very much for listening. Yeah.
Any questions? We have little time. Time for a few questions.
Yeah, you mean when you talk about freedom, it's about the sensitivity of the content that we are exchanging in the network? Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, this is like a specific scenario when we have emergency or something like that. So it's like, of course, if we look to the sensitivity, everything is confidential somehow. And if you use the NATO classification for sensitivity, it's I don't know how useful is it during the tactical mission itself. But of course, if you have an emergency or some you need to do some action, maybe you can drop off all the security mechanisms and just talk in a broadcast like, hey, let's run out of here because something is happening. So of course we are not dealing with any of these specific scenarios because we are like just trying to provide the basic functionalities, transforming everything in the SOA architecture. But yeah, we hope that this kind of semantic way of providing policies, we can deal with these kind of special scenarios where something unexpected happens and then we just drop off all the security on the system and then just talk in a broadcast for some minutes and then get back to the protected state. But yeah, maybe you can say something about the specific scenario, Vasilis. Yes, it's quite pertinent, yeah, but we are struggling with the basic scenarios right now. Maybe we're going to deal with this. Of course, you cannot, there are some peaceful missions operations as well, but yeah, the project has some scenarios. One way, because the mission has a plan, isn't it? Because this is a strong relate to mobility. And also, in the literature, they talk a little bit about opportunistic encounters that you can use like to do this kind of forward a message. So, in the tactical environment, we are looking to, we can look to the mission plan, and then maybe we have a mobility plan as well. Like when we have a convoy, one of the scenarios in the project is a convoy, like crossing an area, carrying some supplies. So in this case, I know the routes that the vehicles are taking in the path. And then I can use this kind of information to connect fragmented parts of the network. So this is one way of doing this, but of course also when we talk about soldiers walking, they are not walking randomly like civil people in a city. So maybe we are planning to take advantage of this pre-knowledge of the mobility of the network to do something preemptive about forwarding messages.